Today is Michael D. Higgins' last day as President of Ireland. The Labour politician, TD, minister and poet was elected in 2011 with 57% of the vote and again in 2018 with 56%. He's Ireland's ninth president. We're joined this morning by Professor Deirdre Heenan, who President Higgins appointed to his first Council of State in 2012, and also by Irish Times columnist Fintan O'Toole. Good morning to you both. Fintan, how will history remember the Higgins presidency?
Good morning. It'll remember it very warmly, I think. It's important to keep in mind that, you know, even before he was president, he was a very, very adept retail politician. Someone who, you know, was just very good at going into a room and lighting it up and making people feel better about themselves, which is, you know, a big part of what the presidency does. He managed that very difficult balance, I think, between maintaining the dignity of the office, you know, which has a certain kind of distance implied in it, and on the other side, this kind of warmth and directness and connection. You know, it's in future in the museums, you know, in 100 years' time, there will be Michael D. tea cozies and there will be, you know, children's books. And it's very unusual for a political figure of any kind, really, to have that sort of general affection, you know, and I think that will be a big part of his legacy. And then I think there'll also be, you know, the much more large scale issues. I think he was very important in maintaining and deepening relations with the UK during a very, very rocky period over Brexit. I think he was very important in speaking out on climate change, you know, a very, very critical voice there internationally, very important in maintaining for the Irish people, I think, some sense that our values are anchored in universal human rights that really matter to people. And I think finally, he was a hugely important figure for the arts community, for Irish culture, you know, and someone who celebrated what, after all, is perhaps the best of us.
Deirdre, what stands out from your interactions with him as a member of his Council of State?
Well, I suppose, Audrey, what I would say is I had the privilege of getting to see him in all sorts of settings, official business, garden parties, visits, part of the centenary events. And really, it was the fact that he was relaxed in all of those settings. He knew how to behave with a dignity, but the warmth was what really came across to me. I had the great privilege of being in Windsor Castle when he met Queen Elizabeth and was really struck by the warmth between the two of them. They were often seen giggling in the corner, talking to each other, really seemed to be enjoying the visit, enjoying what it meant, but he didn't shy away from difficult questions. So in those events, he often talked about human rights, climate change, poverty, inequality. And I suppose the other thing that really struck me about him is that he has been authentic. You know, when he says these things, you get the sense that he means it, that he's not waiting on the next bandwagon to jump on, or he's not saying something because he thinks and he's calculated, oh, this will go down well, this will make me more popular. He has been consistent in his arguments for peace and equality and universal human rights. And I suppose that's really what's important. And at a time when trust and confidence in politicians was at an all-time low, he somehow managed to transcend that and was warmly welcomed wherever he went in all sorts of settings. And I think that's really what's important about him as well. It's that sense of relatability. I mean, we can all think about the photographs of him on his BMX bike, standing at the waiting to get his money from the
ATM.
Yes, and you think, yeah, he's just like the rest of us.
And in the stand at Daily Mount, watching Bowes. Fintan, that criticism, though, that he made of government policy, particularly around housing, the government might have been miffed by it, but is that what the public expected him to do?
So I think just as there's this balance between the dignity of the office and the warmth that people really value, there's also this maybe even trickier balance between, you know, the nature of the office as it was probably envisaged by Eamon de Valera in the 1930s and the way it has evolved very radically since 1990, you know, which is that the Irish people now expect their president to be someone who is both eloquent and passionate. And if you put eloquence and passion together, you know, you get somebody who speaks out and speaks out with a lot of power. I think for the most part, he was very, very well attuned to, you know, what the public really wanted him to say. I mean, after all, when he said that the housing crisis was a disaster and used those words very consciously, you know, a lot of people in the political system were extremely unhappy with him. But I don't think the Irish public was unhappy with him, because I think, you know, it was just true. Now, you could say towards the latter end of his presidency, on issues of foreign policy, there were certainly times when he pushed the limits of the independence of the office of the of president versus, you know, what is official government policy. But I think that's something we're just going to have to live with almost, you know, certainly for the next 7 years as well. It's the nature of the presidency.
Deirdre, Fintan said earlier about his relationship with the UK, particularly in the years of Brexit. But it's notable that tomorrow, for the inauguration of Catherine Connolly, the Deputy First Minister, Emma Little-Pengelly, will not be at it. She says it's a diary clash. But I wonder, did Northern Unionists ever forgive Michael D. Higgins for refusing to attend that ceremony back in 2021, which marked the centenary of the establishment of Northern Ireland?
No, I think there's still that simmering resentment that he didn't go, and that whole episode as it happened. But I think if you look at it through the lens of history, you would say that actually he was very measured. I mean, when he was asked to talk about it, he decided he wouldn't go because he felt it wasn't appropriate. It was political. It wasn't cross-community. And he had history of refusing events that weren't cross-community. He decided not to go to a dinner in Belfast City Hall because he said it wasn't cross-community to celebrate the Easter Rising. So he had history of making his own decisions. But actually, when I reflect back on it, he actually said, when he was talking about the DUP and their criticism of him, and their very vocal criticism of him, he said, "It's a bit much." Well, what a master of the understatement. This was just weeks after the DUP had walked away from the North-South institutions as part of the Good Friday Agreement. So he was diplomatic. He'd made a decision that he wasn't going, and he stood by it. I think in the North there is disappointment that the DUP Deputy First Minister has decided not to go. If indeed it's a diary clash, I'm quite sure they could find someone else within the ranks of their party to go along and represent the party. It's astonishing that Peter Robinson felt that it was acceptable to go. And here we are 14 years later, and the DUP have decided what is essentially a snub, but a very short-sighted snub, because leadership is about extending the hand of friendship. It's about showing grace. It's about being generous, and I'm afraid they have disappointed.
Fintan, just finally, metaphorically, are his big shoes to fill?
Very much so. You know, he had a unique political talent, you know, not just in Ireland, but as Deirdre was saying, very, very few people around the world in the kind of crisis of democratic politics who were able to communicate serious ideas while at the same time, you know, being so relatable and so much liked. And that's it's a very difficult balance to pull off. I suppose the ultimate compliment to Michael D. Higgins is that the Irish people chose the nearest thing they could find to a continuity candidate. And, you know, that's going to be the challenge for Catherine Connolly, really, is to manage that same balance that Michael D. was so adept at.
Fintan O'Toole, Professor Deirdre Heenan, thank you both very much indeed. And on this, the last day of President Michael D. Higgins' time at the Auras, we wish him and his wife Sabina a very happy and healthy retirement. This is Morning Ireland. It's 8:33 and Brian's here with the latest news.